really read on for it to make full sense. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. And then the key little clause, forgive others, and God will forgive you. Give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all that you can hold. That's why so often we hold out hands in worship, isn't it? We're really saying to the Lord, pour your blessing out, Lord, more than I can hold, as well as pleading to God. The measure you use for others is the one God will use for you. And Jesus told them this parable. One blind man cannot lead another one. If he does, both will fall into a ditch. No pupil is greater than his teacher, but every pupil, when he has completed his training, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but pay no attention to the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, please, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, yet you cannot even see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother or your sister's eye. How can we forgive as God forgives, not our own version of it? Because there are all sorts of human versions of forgiveness. We know forgiveness is something that is incredibly deep. It's not something that's shallow. That's why there are people who meet throughout the world, not necessarily religious people, to talk about reconciliation and peacemaking, forgiveness, things like this. And we know that it's not something that we will grasp all the truth of quickly. It is something that's incredibly deep because it goes right into our very natures. And of course, forgiveness is rooted in God. When we read the scripture, we're also clear that forgiveness in God's terms is spoken about along with forgetting. Forgiving and forgetting, question mark. Forgiving and forgetting. I cannot tell you how many people have said to me over the years, all right, I will forgive that person what they've done, but I won't forget what they have done. I've just given up counting. I'm sure I've said it myself as well at certain times. Even if I haven't voiced it, it's often there in my attitude. I can't tell you how many people have said that. It's a major human dilemma. I will forgive, but I won't forget. But then as Christians, we're taken to another stage, aren't we? Because Jesus spoke about a different type of forgiveness. And the scripture from the beginning speaks about God being willing not just to forgive, but also to forget. Now, in small groups recently, we've been discussing why it is often so hard to forgive when we feel wronged by another person or a group of people. Everybody straight away, they don't need long to think about it. They come up straight away. People say our pride, our self gets in the way. We don't want to back down. That's quoting to you directly from one of the groups I was in. Another one is we want to save face. We know that we're right, and we want to appear right in the situation. That's people being honest. Another one, I think, though, is also our sense of natural justice. We feel that someone should face the consequences of what they've done and not just be let off the hook. So sometimes we've got an indignation inside us, and we sense some sort of natural justice. So people admit that it's often easy to say we've forgiven, but the memory of the wrong will keep coming back into our minds. And I know people, and I'm sure you do, that decades, not just a few years, but decades after things have happened, have not forgiven. That it goes on. And some people take it to the grave with them. It can go on a very long time. It's almost as though people are saying, we felt the hurt and we want to hurt back. Not just perhaps hurting other people, but somehow holding on to something that hurts us and actually becomes destructive. Now, if you don't think this applies to you, fine. But you are going to meet people that you talk with that do have a real difficulty with this. And you're going to listen to people. Sometimes that's something that keeps people out of the church or a religious group. Sometimes it doesn't, but it keeps them out of their family or whatever. Some people want revenge. Sometimes we want at least to ignore the person. We want them to know that they've wronged us. All these feelings come and actually affect how we behave. They're not just feelings, because how we feel affects how we behave, doesn't it? Well, the first thing to say, I believe, is that Jesus knows human nature. Jesus knows human nature. He doesn't need to be taught anything about human nature because of who he is, but also he's experienced it himself in the incarnation. Jesus is a God of justice as well as mercy. And the Bible talks about both of those things as well as many others. Justice and mercy. And both of those are highly involved with forgiveness. Justice and mercy. Jesus is not wishy-washy, is he? He still teaches, even though he is a God of justice as mercy, that his disciples are to forgive others and even to pray for our enemies. So here we have a dilemma often. The commands and the practice of Jesus, who on the cross was even able to say, forgive them, and our own nature, which is often not to forgive. I often face a dilemma when I'm with people. What right have I to say to someone who has experienced great injustice, great wrong, that they must forgive because Jesus commands? You know, someone who's experienced great injustice. And you can imagine what I mean by that. Who's been treated so badly. Now, let me state something clearly here, because the last time I spoke about this in praying for enemies, I was hauled over the coals afterwards. And said, but you didn't take account of this. Let me state clearly here that the command of Jesus to forgive so that we may be forgiven does not mean that we do not stand up against all sorts of bullies. We are surely to stand up against playground bullies. I happen to be of the breed that thinks if you teach your kid to hit back, it's going to backfire on all sorts of other things. We have to find a way through, but you don't put up with playground bullies. We have to find a way with our children to teach them in life what to do. We should stand up against playground bullies. We should stand up against sexual bullies in relationships and marriages and workplace. We do not just sit back and take it. Sexual bullies and abusers of all sorts should be confronted. We also should stand up against politically oppressive regimes and bullies. There's all sorts of bullies in the world, aren't there? Be they in the playground, in the home, in the workplace, or on the global scale. This is not just saying, well, let it all go, you know, forgive them all of this. This is forgiveness with actions attached often. Forgiveness is not an excuse for pacifism if pacifism means doing nothing. And an excuse for an easy life. Forgiveness has to do with conscious choices, and forgiveness can go hand in hand with seeking to stop wrong and exploitative behavior. And some of our greatest campaigners have experienced forgiveness but still gone on to campaign against things that are wrong. We can challenge what is wrong and still exercise forgiveness. It may take us quite a time to work through to what that means, but it can happen. In challenging what is wrong, we can speak out against what is wrong and not just be silent. But our attitude in this entire struggle of life, and I do believe life is a struggle as well as a joy, our attitude is as important as are our actions. Both are important, attitude and actions. Not to forgive, according to the teaching of the New Testament, leaves those who have done wrong and those who have sinned against other people, as well as those who have been sinned against, I think I got that right, the sinners and those sinned against, in a type of bondage. If there's no forgiveness, people are actually caught up in a situation. And according to the New Testament, forgiveness really has two main strands. One is dealing graciously with someone. And the other one is the idea of releasing somebody, sending someone away free. So Jesus, with the woman, said, "Your sins are forgiven," and he sent her away. He released her to go in the peace that he's given. And forgiveness is both us experiencing or showing graciousness, and also us experiencing release or releasing someone else. These ideas are very important in the New Testament. And not to forgive often means that people are not released themselves. We don't want great debts hanging over us. We've experienced something of the debt release, the freeing that God has shown to us. And Jesus and his disciples, those that wrote the New Testament, teach that forgiveness of others by us essentially springs from the fact that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Because we have been forgiven by Jesus, we are to work through to releasing others. Now, some people, where they have been greatly abused, this is an incredibly difficult thing to do. You understand that, don't you? And some of you will be those people. It is incredibly difficult. If you were abused as a child, perhaps if you were in a country where there was a political regime where you were abused or your family, it is incredibly difficult to follow through on this. I'm not trying to be superficial at all about this, but our forgiveness of others is tied into also challenging evil, but it is linked into Jesus's forgiveness of us. Our forgiveness is to be as wholehearted as the Lord's is. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive, it says in Colossians 3, the passage that Georgina took us to last week. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's not a cold command. Our well-being is tied into this and the good of society. Some may say, if someone apologizes and seeks to put it right, then I can forgive them. Some may say, if it's only a small wrong, I can forgive them. But if it's a big thing, then I don't know. Some may say, I can't, no matter how hard I try to forgive. I can't forget because it still comes back to me again and again. Do you have no control over your thought life at all? There is a real place also to seek help, which some people really need to do, from respected and wise Christians and also counselors and therapists, if a lack of forgiveness becomes a problem. Some people think everybody can just forgive like that. That's not the reality. Some people need to get help for that. And may we all be humble enough, if we need that help, to seek it out. Some will find healing and forgiveness with other people's help. Sometimes part of that healing comes by confronting others with their wrongdoing and our own pain. There are things tied into this. Without a doubt, also, many people find prayer ministry and talking very helpful. That's something we can explore later. To forgive others also means that we need to keep on choosing to forgive. Repentance, Katie, I'm so sorry, darling. Would you like, or Pete's like to just go and send, he's in there. we'll leave it to Pete. I wish you could have met me when I was a youngster. That would have been me. Well, I didn't go to Sunday school, actually. They stopped me going. There you go. I knew I was rejected at an early age. Right. To forgive others actually also means us choosing to forgive. As I said, repentance means changing our mind. Repentance isn't something you do once, is it? It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living, reorientating ourselves back to God's way of doing things. I have been forgiven. I am a follower of Jesus. I need to learn to forgive. One idea from the Bible about God's forgiveness has been a practical help to me over the years, and that is the idea of forgiving and not bearing grudges, not reliving things in my mind. The teaching of the Bible that God forgives and chooses not to remember. Right? If you think of forgetting as choosing not to remember, you have a better understanding of what the teaching of the Bible is about forgiveness. We can choose what we remember. I'm not saying that we should bury everything so later it becomes a problem, but we can choose what we think about. You know that, in regard to all sorts of things. Another teaching I found helpful is actually the fact that in the long run, justice is up to God. And we all will give account, me and everyone, to God. We are thoroughly forgiven. That's what we rejoice as Christian people. Thoroughly forgiven. If you have sought God and you have really sought him out and asked for forgiveness, you are thoroughly forgiven. Isaiah, the prophet, speaks of God as putting the prophet's sins behind his back and blotting out his transgressions. It's that thorough, it's finished, it's dealt with. Jeremiah shows us the Lord's voice saying, I will remember their sins no more. I will choose not to remember their sins. God's not an old man that he's gone very forgetful or anything like that. That's not the point. I will remember their sins no more. God chooses not to keep reminding people of their sins. He chooses not to remember. Prophet Micah says, God casts their sins into the depths of the sea. Just making the point, we can't fathom the sea. We can't get to the bottom of it. Our sins are that far removed from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far are our sins removed from us. We are thoroughly forgiven. But that is our example of what forgiveness means, that we choose not to remember. This is how God treated my sins in sending Jesus Christ. My sins are atoned for upon the cross of Jesus. You know what's spoken of more in the New Testament than the cross? Jesus himself. The cross was just the thing Jesus died on and atoned for us upon. But it's in Christ that God forgave us, says Paul to the Ephesians. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven. The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, which is a good job because we need our sinful nature being forgiven and cleansed. And Jesus has that authority. Our forgiveness is possible because of God's grace. And so we are called upon to imitate Jesus, to be gracious, to be releasing of others and ourselves. No one is going to pretend it is easy. There are people on this earth who have forgiven far more difficult things than I have had to forgive. I can't say you, because maybe you've had to forgive things that I don't know anything about. God chooses both to forgive and forget. Here we cry to God for help. Some of us need to understand how great my forgiveness by Jesus is. If I really understood how much I had been forgiven, I believe I would be more forgiving of others. Every time I take the communion cup, I remember that Christ's blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. All sins, but also my sins. To deny others forgiveness is to deny how indebted I am to God. And although it's hard, it's tied into that. Also, I believe that God is a God of both justice and mercy. Wrongdoing needs to be challenged. So it's not forgive necessarily and shut up. Sometimes I think the church has wrongly advised people and they have buried sins that should have been challenged. But there has to be forgiveness. My attitude in all of this is important. There was a very moving thing happened in the States recently with visit from various papal representatives and people who were victims of abuse within the church. In this case, it happened to be the Catholic Church. And some were able to meet with that representative and some still couldn't meet or couldn't talk. They were still so broken up. Ultimately, all bullying and manipulation will be judged. But my attitude is something that I have to work on. My mind and how I remember things, both events and feelings, is all important. I imprison myself if I'm not able to forgive even those who don't repent. How do I use my mind and what do I choose to dwell upon? Paul's view was that we were to think on those things which actually were positive and lovely and praiseworthy and so on. That was not him saying, ignore the rest, but choose how you use your mind. Lastly, we need to work towards showing forgiveness, and God will help us every step of the way. Reconciliation with God and with ourselves, forgiving ourselves and with others, can be a long process. But we are to belong to a community of forgiveness and reconciliation, which makes it possible. It's not just that God helps us, but we are told to forgive one another. We're part of that community. God makes us a part of that. This is not an easy subject to speak about, but we can't talk about love and the people of God without talking about it. And we can't talk about it without helping other people on their journey as well. And it is complex because it involves human nature. But God is with us in this. And our way to freedom is ultimately through Jesus Christ. And Jesus uses many things to speak to us, but his word is clear to guide us. Let's just begin to respond. Let's be quiet just for a moment. Perhaps just a silent time, because only at the moment you know where you are with God. So none of us speaking out, just for the first part, just to be silent and reflect on our own lives and relationship with other people.